We read together again this morning. You're hearing. We read from Joshua's record in chapter 13. Reading only again verse 1 and the first line of verse 2. From this record. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth. And then the remainder of this chapter outlines and defines and locates all of that land that yet remained to be possessed. I try from time to time, for the sake of those who may, and some do, get these messages from the internet and are not with us week by week, in case they pick a message out, and I try to remind us where exactly we are in our ministry, in our preaching. We, of course, are dealing with the book of Joshua and have been now for a very long time. I'm sure my number is probably not accurate. Brother John would have the right number. But I have written on my page that this is at least sermon number 74 from the book of Joshua, and we are only just in the first verse of chapter 13. Preaching a series from the book of Joshua on lessons from a faithful generation. And then I have tried in each case, most of the time at least, to give a focus a title for an entire chapter or a large portion. Chapter 13 I have entitled The Man, The Mission, and The Motive. These are all three things clearly set in display here in this chapter. And then I've tried to title each sermon. And I have now been trying to deliver a message, and this is part 3 of one message, which is, Thou Art Old, the title for these three sessions. We have been now for the last 2 Lord's Days dealing in some detail with the subject introduced to us, in this solemn text here in Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1. The subject introduced to us there is the subject of old age. And I said early on it was an unavoidable subject. I have already, in my first message from this text, made my defense for my journey down this which I have called a slight byway. That is, treating of the subject rather than holding to a strict exposition of the text. And I make no apology here again this morning for taking the time to treat this subject. I had an interesting conversation. I might have related it last week. I don't remember. Going into the jail the other day, last Lord's Day, with Brother Oliver. I mentioned to him that I was preaching on old age. Brother Oliver's quite old himself, much older than me. And he made the statement that he had never in his whole life heard a sermon preached on old age. What a remarkable thing. What a remarkable thing that is. So I make no apology for taking up this subject, although I realize that it has only an instructive function among us, this congregation being not filled with old people. In fact, most of the congregation much younger than myself and my wife. But it is instructional, and I do not apologize for taking the subject up. But now, this morning, having dealt in the two previous messages rather topically with this subject, I would now have us return today and continue in this last message to look at this subject again, but today, rather more specifically, from this text in Joshua's record of a faithful generation, and none, might I say, Joshua's record of a faithful generation, and none in that generation more faithful than Joshua himself. Here in verse 1, the Lord not only tells us that Joshua is old, but here the Lord further records his own words as he presses this reality on Joshua himself. You notice in verse 1, there is the statement of record, if you please. Joshua was old and stricken in years. And then there is the recounting of the Lord's own words as he presses this reality onto Joshua and says, Joshua, thou art old and stricken in years. Twice in one verse, we are pressed up to this mortal inevitability. What was Joshua to make of it? Along comes the Lord in the midst of all of his work and conquest and labors, and most, there's disagreement, but most scholars placed this point in chapter 13 that somewhere between 5 and 7 years, more lean toward the number 5 years, that they have been now in the land and conquering the land. And along comes the Lord and says to Joshua, Joshua, thou art old and stricken in years. What is Joshua to make of it? Indeed, what are we to make of it? For the message today, let me suggest some answers to that question from our text. First, I would have us to make of it, and I think Joshua must make of it, first and most conspicuously, there is the force of the plain statement. You see, there's force just in stating a thing. We sometimes laugh without giving any details or personal recounting. There is a particular fellow some of us have known in the past, which we, having a bit of fun, sometimes refer to him as having the ministry of implication. Well, the opposite of that statement is equally strong, and that is that there is force in a plain statement, not an implication. To say it another way, if you prefer, there is wisdom in facing the realities, even if one must needs be told it. And clearly, I will not enter the realm of speculation. I think there's much I could say, but I will not say. But clearly, I can deduce this. Joshua needed to hear it. There is wisdom, I say, in facing a reality. There is force in a plain statement, even if one must be told it. I have already said much on this point in previous messages, and so I will not dwell on it again for long today. Yet it does merit being repeated. Joshua, thou art old. We are living in a now generation. We are living in a generation that wants to hear nothing about old age. In fact, they want to remove it from off the scene. I have made reference to this already at least a couple of times in previous messages. And you know it to be a fact. Now, I want you to understand, nothing I have said on this point, I do not mean by anything that I've said about this to discourage anything that a person does to maintain their health. We are stewards of this vessel. And because we are accountable for it, I make no criticism of good diet, exercise, all these things that are instrumental to help us maintain good health. I make no criticism of those things. Thank you. It is not that which is for our health that I refer to. I'm referring to those artificial things which this generation has devised to try to ward off the inevitability of aging. Indeed, to mask it and cover it as though it cannot exist. We're living in a generation that would seek to do that. It is not without merit to say that I fear we live in a generation where some folks need to be told, thou art old. It seems they want to live in a denial and pretend that it's not so. We have one place where I shared with my wife a large advert in the paper this week, where elderly residents are given an environment in which they can hopefully forget that they're old. and go back to the early days of their lives of making merry and partying. And by living in that environment every day, they hope to extinguish the power of this reality that they are now old. There's value in a plain statement. And so the Lord comes to Joshua and in plain words says, Joshua, thou art old and stricken in years. So it was with Joshua here in our text. At some point, we must come to accept that we just got old. Secondly, what are we to make from this statements in this text this morning? I will draw to your heart a second lesson. And that is that in the light of this aging situation, inevitability, there will always remain much to do which you will not get done. Can I read the verse again? Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. Here is a reality that must be accounted in every man and woman's life. That is that there will always remain much to do which you will not get done. Joshua will not see all these lands taken, nor all God's enemies destroyed. He will not. It is a somber yet necessary reality for us to own this truth. God's work did not begin with you, and it will not end with you. There will always remain work that you will not do. Someone has well commented on this truth who said, this is not said to Joshua to reproach him. He had accomplished the work to which God had called him. But it reminds us that however rich a human life may be in the fruits of practical devotion, it is, after all, but a contribution towards the full working out of the divine purpose. It is at best small, feeble, fragmentary, indeed, in comparison with the grandeur of God's providential plan, all that we can do if we had lived, and we have not, but if we had lived a totally dedicated, serviceable life in the work of God, at the very best it was small and feeble and fragmentary. This commentator said, great as may be the victories it has achieved, it leaves much land yet to be possessed. Moreover, the noblest spirit fails to reach its own ideal, and the most fruitful life fails to realize its own aspirations. Human life, at the best, is but a tale half told, a song that dies away into silence when only a few timid notes have sounded. It is but a beginning in which the foundation is laid of works that it is left to others' hands to finish, and purposes are born that find elsewhere their actual unfolding. How many a man is dying in dying? How many a man in dying has had a painful sense of having fallen far short, not only of the diviner possibilities of his life, but even of the realization of hopes that inspired him in his earlier years. There is always a touch of sadness, somebody said. There's always a touch of sadness in autumn, because they remind us of the brevity of our life day and reflect the vanishing glory of so many of our fairest dreams. Full as it may have been of high endeavor and grand achievement, much remains undone. Well, as someone else said, we must not postpone the commencement of work. Joshua began to serve God in his youth. You young people, listen to me. Joshua began to serve God in his youth. Yet his work was not finished in his old age. We must not be satisfied with any amount of work done. Joshua had accomplished great things, but much remained undone. We must not be willing to work at intervals or with wastefulness of time. The work of life is too great for the longest, most earnest life. Time is short. The day of work will soon pass. Life is long enough for all that God requires of us. We may not be able to do all we wish to do, all we set before ourselves to do, all that appears to be needed to do, all that we think it is our duty to do. We may not be able to do it all, but God apportions our duty according to our opportunities. Therefore, in His eyes, the broken, unfinished life is really finished if all is done for which opportunity has been given. God judges us by faithfulness, not success. It is not those who effect much, but those who serve truly whom God accepts. We cannot command success. The finishing of our work is not in our hands. We can be faithful. Too often our aspirations exceed our capacities. It's not simply that we desire the unattainable, but we are conscious of duties which reach beyond our present opportunities and the possibilities within us which the limits of life prevents us from developing. If God is too wise to waste His gifts and too good to deceive His children, we may take the broken life and still more the incomplete life, even of old age, as mute prophecies of a larger life beyond. But it is well that they should leave some work for other men. The necessity thus created becomes a stimulus to others. When one falls, another is raised to continue his work. Joshua, there's much left to be done, but you'll not do it. You'll not do it. Matthew Henry said that God mentions Joshua's age and growing infirmities as a reason why he should now lay by the thoughts of pursuing war. He cannot expect to see an end of it quickly, for there remaineth much land, more perhaps than he thought, to be possessed in several parts remote from each other. And it was all fit that at his age he should be put upon the fatigue of renewing the war and carrying it to such distant places. No, It was enough for him that he had reduced the body of the country. Let him be gathered to rest with honor and with the thanks of his people and the good services he had done them. And let the conquering of the skirts of the country be left to those that will come after him. As he had entered into the labors of Moses, so let others enter into his labors and bring forth the top stone, the doing of which was reserved for David the king long after him. Observe, Henry says, God considers the frame of his people, would not have them burdened with work above their strength. It cannot be expected that the old people should do as they have done for God and their country when they were young. All people, but especially old people, should set themselves to do that quickly which must be done before they die, lest death prevent them. Joshua, you're old. You're not going to be able to complete this work. There will always be work left undone by us. But, oh, blessed be our God. Could I just take that thought for a second and just bless our Lord that it is never so with our Lord and Savior. He alone could say, it is finished. Oh, hallelujah. One has said our work is unfinished. It is faulty for the negligence it proves. It can earn us nothing of its own merits. But Christ's work is finished. On this our faith can rest. Then we may offer our own imperfect work to God through Christ, and he will transform it for us by lifting it into the light of his merits, till it will be worthy as dust shines like gold when the sunbeam passes through it. Oh, hallelujah! Of his work, it may be said that even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hallelujah. He has finished the job. Joshua, you're not going to finish this thing. You're old, stricken in years, and there's much work left to be done. But oh, blessed be God. That Christ of whom Joshua was but only a type cried out in that darkness, it's finished. Not a jot or tittle is left undone. So what can we make of this text? Oh, let's make this of it. There will always be work you left undone. But here's a third, and finally this morning, as Joshua had to learn, so our text teaches us, so must we learn that there is a work left for you to do. While you will not finish all that you had at one time aspired to do, there is a job left for you to do. Let me finish that statement. For which you are uniquely fitted to do it. So then, waste no time getting at it. First part of verse 2 in chapter 13 says, This is the land that yet remaineth. And then look at verse 7. Now therefore, divide this land. Joshua, you are old and stricken in years, and there is much land to be possessed, and you're not going to do it. Let me tell you what the land is. Here's all the land that's left to do, left to conquer, but you're not going to conquer it, Joshua. But I'll tell you what you will do. You divide this land for an inheritance under the 9 tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh. You're not going to conquer it, Joshua, but you're going to divide it before you're out of here. I said there's always something left. Oh, listen, there's something left for you to do for which you are uniquely equipped of God to do it. So waste no time and get at it. Joshua, says our Lord, Joshua, fight you cannot, but labor you must, and that for which you are uniquely qualified. Oh, it is true, as one commentator said, it is true that old age has great dignity and beauty in it when it crowns a life of earnest, practical godliness. The hoary head is a crown of glory, Proverbs tells us, like the rich glow of autumn when the fields have yielded their precious store to the hand of the reaper and the song of harvest home is sung. Like the golden sunset closing a day of mingled brightness and gloom, giving assurance of a glorious rising in the world beyond. Such is the halo that surrounds the head of one of God's veterans. Think of the moral grandeur of the Apostle Paul's position when in view of his past life and in the prospect of his eternal issues, he could say, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's true. That's true. But there's something left for you to do. Waste no time at getting at it. Delay may prove fatal. Gill said that now. I love the terse, succinct way Gill said it. As this command comes to Joshua in our chapter, Gill said, now, this is the business and all the business that Joshua had to do.
Sums it up, doesn't it?
This is the business and all the business that Joshua has now to do. Matthew Henry Wells said, Joshua must get on with this work. He must get on with this work that they might not be tempted to make any league or lay back on any contract, any dangerous familiarity with these, their neighbors, so as to learn their way, but might rather be jealous of them as a people that kept them from their right, and that they had just cause to be quarrel with them. They need to get on with assigning this land, that they might keep themselves in a posture of war, and not think of putting off the harness so long as there remained any land to be possessed. Nor must we lay aside our spiritual armor, nor be off our watch, nor be out of our work, till our victory be completed in the kingdom of glory. In short, Joshua needed to get on with the work. Oh, here is wise counsel even in our youth. Broach no delay in moving from one work immediately into the next in our service to Christ and in the building of His kingdom. Shall I say that again? Broach no delay in moving from one work immediately to the next in our service to Christ and the building of His kingdom. Bush said, Joshua no doubt supposed that the land was first to be conquered before it was to be divided. But here, his mistake is corrected. The great proprietor would have his people consider the country as even now theirs, and as a pledge of his purpose to give it to them, directs that without any further delay, it be forthwith apportioned out among them. This order would not only strengthen their assurance of the final possession of the land, but serve also as an incentive to prosecute the work of conquest with fresh vigor and keep themselves from all leagues and every kind of entangling connection which might obstruct the attainment of their ultimate object. So the exercise of a lively faith puts the Christian even now in possession of the heavenly Canaan, the land of his eternal inheritance. Of such, it may all be said in the words of Isaac Watts in one of our hymns. And Isaac Watts says, must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace or a help me on to God? Since I must fight, if I must reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They view the triumph from afar and seize it with their eye. Joshua, you may not be able to go out and conquer any land. There's a job I got for you, for which you are uniquely fitted. Your place in this nation. And so, Joshua, I'm telling you, verse 7 is a direct and forceful command in the Hebrew. Now, divide this land. I say to you this morning, Christian, whatever your place in life, but especially in old age, find the work God has uniquely equipped you to do, and then fill your hands with it. Fill your hands with it. Some of us here today, I didn't say some of you, I said some of us here today, have adopted a far too light schedule. Far too light a load in the work of our God that is to be done. Often offering every reason why we must delay. May God help us each one to remember that the night cometh when no man shall labor. And what will we say? Joshua went to work on this new job without delay. Can I just say to you, can I just remind you of the words that Nehemiah spoke in Nehemiah chapter 6 when Sanballat in verse 1 and Tobiah, the rest of their enemies heard that they builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein. Though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, Sanballat and Gesiah sent to me saying, come, let us meet together in some of the villages in the plain of Ono. but they thought to do me mischief, and so I sent messengers unto them, and I said, I'm doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Oh, may God help us, especially those of us who are toward the other end of life, to send messages to every distraction, to send messages to every worldly inclination, to send messages to our flesh that's constantly clamoring for attention and constantly clamoring to be pleased and constantly clamoring to be fed. Let us send a message. I don't have time for you. I've got a work to do. And I can't do what I used to do. I can't even do what I should have done. But I've got something to do. And I need to get at it. One of the dangers of old age is the temptation to pamper our flesh, to bow to its demands. Joshua, forget about the conquest now. And I want you to get busy right now dividing this land. Saint, you're not going to finish all the work you hoped to do. Whatever God has fitted you to do, you need to get at it. You need to get at it with a renewed zeal and a renewed commitment to get it done. Joshua, thou art old and stricken in years. There remaineth yet much land to be possessed. Now, therefore, divide this land. God help us.